Morning. Today's daf in Ksuvas daf Chaf Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lulim Zeich Nishmas Liba Gabriel Bashmuel. We are on the top of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, and we resolved somewhat of a stira. Our big topic that we started yesterday, we're going to continue today, and it will be the totality of today's daf, is going to be Kohanim and establishment of being a Kohen. Someone walks into town, someone says, "Hi, I'm a Kohen." So what kind of credibility is that? And can we just, from that point going forward, assume that he's a Kohen? With Kohen comes rights, privileges, responsibilities. It's a big deal to be a Kohen. And Yichus, in terms of establishing lineage now for future generations. So at what point do we, had we not known, and at what point can we say now that we know that he's a Kohen? So Eidus is really the first answer to that question. If you go back to the Mishnah, Chav Gimel Amud Beis, so the Mishnah over there says you need Eidus, you need testimony. People coming and testifying that we know that he's a Kohen. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, I'm going to repeat my lack of knowledge. I don't know what the Edom are actually saying other than that we know he's a Kohen. Meaning, what do the Edom themselves have to know other than that he's a Kohen? Do they have to know who his parents are? Do they have to? In other words, it's not clear to me exactly what the Edom are testifying, but for the point of simplicity, we're just going to say, Eidus, you need testimony. How many Eidim do you need? So if you remember back in the Mishnah, that was a machlokas. If you look back at the Mishnah, on Chav Gimel Amud Beis, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah, the Chen Shein Hashem Zerah Makoin Ani V'Zerah Makoin Ani Einan Amanim. So again, self-reporting isn't helpful. That's not testimony. Testimony, you can't say anything about yourself and have that serve as evidence, as testimony, so that's not going to be helpful. But they could testify about each other. Now, aren't we worried about collusion? The answer is, yeah, we are worried about collusion. As we'll see over the course of the beginning of today's year, that is a significant concern, especially when you see two people coming and each one of them saying something about somebody else. So you should be nervous. There is a chance that they are planning, scheming, and enjoying each other's reciprocal benefits. But for the time being, however, the Mishnah says that Elu Ne'amanim, that's fine. In other words, if they're testifying about each other, the Karnim, that's fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Ma'al Lekun Al Pi'ed Echad. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you cannot assume that someone's a Kohen just through the testimony of one. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda says you need Eidus, and specifically you need two Eidim. One Eid is not going to be enough. And then the Mishnah brings in what seemingly is a third opinion. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Emasai B'makun She'esh Orin Aval, B'makun She'en Orin Ma'al Lekun Al Pi'ed Echad. And then the opinion of Rabbi Lazar is that one witness will serve enough. And then we didn't discuss this so much yesterday, but is there a difference between the Tanakama and Rebbe Lazar? Maybe yes, maybe no. But but in the meantime, however, the Mishnah was clearly of the opinion that you need Eidus. You need testimony in order to establish that someone was a Kohen. One or two is a machlokas, but you need Eidus. What about then we moved on to the question yesterday, and we're just picking up right from where we left off yesterday. The question of should we worried about collusion? Seemingly, we have somewhat of a discrepancy between the opinions of Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim with our Mishnah versus the Mishnah in Demai. Yesterday, we learned the Mishnah in Demai. The Mishnah described where you have Chamarim, you have donkey drivers coming into town, and each one is talking about how what they're selling is And by I mean very technical term, very specific, meaning the Mishnah in Demai gives a couple of examples of what they're selling. In other words, the person's reporting that what he has is chadash or it's ena matukan, it's new, or it's just simply not been trumas and maizes haven't been removed. But if you want really kosher food, so go to my friend. My friend's got unbelievable food, and it's also perfectly legitimately kosher. And so are we worried about collusion? So that was the machlokas in the Mishnah in Demai. And what was strange is that Rav Yehuda over there says that they're not believed because they're worried about collusion. So it sounds like there's a discrepancy between the Rav Yehuda and Demai and the Rav Yehuda over here in Suvos. The Gemara says that we can resolve it. And parenthetically, there's also a discrepancy between the Chachamim. The Chachamim by Demai are not worried about collusion, and the Chachamim over here are worried about collusion. So that was a question that the Gemara answered. Let's pick it up in the Gemara. Let's turn back. Chavdal Amid Aleph.
Was it recent that they said that? That they're not concerned about that, but they're concerned about this one?
So we're going to say it right now. So the Gemara says, Let's pick it up from Rava's answer. Amar Rava, three lines from the bottom of Chav Dal Amar Aleph. Amar Rava, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Lokasha, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Lokasha, Kedishanina. So the Gemara says, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you, it's not a problem because the Gemara already previously gave an answer. The answer that was given previously is that the Mishnah Demai is talking about Demai. Demai is only but a rabbinic concern, and even as a rabbinic concern, it's even a lighter rabbinic concern. Under certain occasions, we're allowed to eat demai. Right? The Mishnayos and demai give us certain scenarios where you're allowed to eat demai. So it's not a, it's not an isser set as a an objective isser. There's a subjective nature to the isser of demai. And so we can be lenient, and therefore one of the leniences would be we're not worried about collusion. However, when it comes to Kohanim, where it becomes a much more serious issue, so we are worried about collusion. That is how we answer the contradiction between Rav Yehuda's. The Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Lokasha, the Gemara says, what about the Chachamim? Kedam Rami Bar Ukva B'Shekliyum Naso B'Yada. So the Gemara says this is where we ended off yesterday. So in terms of the Chachamim, sometimes we are worried about collusion, sometimes we're not. For example, the Kliyum Naso B'Yada, when they're bringing their equipment with them, meaning their equipment, Rashi explains, top Rashi on Chavdal Amad Beis, they're selling equipment, meaning they're clearly in the business of selling their wares. If they're clearly in the business of selling their wares, that means that they are conducting business. When you conduct business, so your objective is to sell. And sometimes, if that's your objective, so you'll do things which may not be 100% kosher, but you have, right now, your main objective is to sell. There, the Gemara says, that's when the Chachamim would say, we are worried, we are concerned about collusion. Meaning, if they're coming in and they're clearly looking to sell, and then they start reporting, you know, my stuff's no good, but his stuff is unbelievable. So now, they got their business hats on, and I'm saying that by analogy. They have all their equipment with them, they're interested in selling, so then you should be suspicious. Then you should be worried about, when they're in this town, he's saying something about him, and then when they go to the next town, so there will be a reciprocity. Okay.
What if he doesn't bring it? One of them bring collusion.
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know.
If they want to deceive people, they can do that.
Oh, good. In other words, so the simple, I don't know. The simple point of the Gemara is that when they're in the market, when they're clearly in the market, that's when you should start being suspicious. Now the Gemara notes that this answer that was given was not originally meant for this stira. We're borrowing an answer, okay, but whenever you borrow an answer, the Gemara wants to know, what was the original question, and how do we use this as the answer? So the Gemara goes now over, where do we see this originally? The Rabbi Chamar Bar Ukva, Ahadanan, so the Gemara says, it's based on another Mishnah. Here we go now, Mishnayos in Taharas. HaKadosh Yinich Derasav Yar Lishtos. So let's say you have a person making jugs, and he's a Chaver. He is scrupulous. He knows he's very careful about Tumah Tahara. And he puts the jug down, and he goes down to the well in order to get a drink. So that means that he left the jugs unattended. So what is going to be the status of the jugs? Are we worried now that that maybe an Amaratz is going to come by and pick up the jug, look at it, put it down again? Amaratzim are typically assumed to be Tameh. And so are we worried? So the Mishnah goes on to describe Hapanimios Taurus Achitzonis Tameos. So the Mishnah just says very cryptically, ambiguously, that the inner jugs are Tahor and the outer jugs are Tame. Okay, that's going to be our assumption. Inner, outer, what are we talking about? Stay tuned, we're going to explain in just a moment. The Gemara then quotes another Braisa. The other Braisa says that all jugs are Tame. And I'm sorry.
Yes.
So vachitzonis tameos vatanya elav elav tameos. Amar Rami Chama Bar Ukva b'shekliyum naso biyado. So the Gemara says resolution is as follows. Here's where he originally used the answer, and that is that if the jug maker was clearly in the market of selling his jugs, so then everything is tummy because once he's clearly in the market, so someone's going to walk over and say, hey, look, jugs for sale. And if something's for sale, that gives you the right to pick it up, look at it, inspect it, investigate it. And so therefore, the brisa that says every jug is tameh, meaning once the kadar, once the jug maker went down to the well and went to get water and left everything unattended, and clearly everything was for sale, so then you can assume that someone's going to pick up any and all jugs in order to look at it. And if the amaratzim are passing by, so that's it. Mimnei shiyad hakol memashmash bahem. Fine. So that is describing the brisa that says that everything is tamei. Gemara points out, good answer, but there's one other problem, and there's a third brisa. Hatanya elavelo taharos. The third brisa says that everything is tahara. So amar amichama bar okva. So once again, now to explain this next brisa that says that even though he went down to the well, even though he left everything unattended, all jugs are tahara. B'she'in kli umnasa biyado. So that's talking about a case where he didn't have his selling hat on and all the equipment that he was ready to sell the jugs. And that means then that no one had the right to touch it. And unless we know otherwise, we're going to assume that no one touched it. In other words, if he clearly wasn't in the market of selling it. Fine. So that's when everything is tahora. So good. So now we have the two extreme brises. One brisa says everything's tamea. That's when he's in the market to sell. One brisa says everything is tahora. That's when he's not in the market to sell. Good. What's not good, however, is that we have a Mishnah in Taharos. What did the original Mishnah say? The Penimios are Tahora and the Chitzonos are Tamea. What's that Mishnah talking about? Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, what's the Mishnah in Taharos talking about? Describing the following. The Smichel Rishos HaRabim is talking about where he's right next to the Rishos HaRabim. In our modern city structure, basically we're describing something like, very similar to a sidewalk. And what ends up happening is as follows. Sometimes when the Rishus HaRabim gets so congested, so what do people do? You see this on the highway sometimes. So they'll take the shoulder, and they'll sometimes go on the shoulder in order to get past. So the Gemara says that's what's going on over here. Because the jug maker put his jugs down and he went down to the well, and we said that the inner ones are tahora, the outer ones are tamea, meaning where did he lay them on the side? He laid them on the side of the road. They weren't in the road themselves, so we can't assume that an amaretz who is freely going down the road is going to touch them. However, he put them on the side of the road, and because sometimes traffic, and again, we're talking about where there are no cars, but still, when traffic gets so congested on the road and they're going to use the side of the road, so therefore you have to assume that those jugs that are proximate to the road were in fact handled by the Amaretz as they're trying to get by. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the discussion. E bias ema. The Gemara says, or if you want, we can give another explanation. Meaning, what we're going to try to do is resolve a discrepancy between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. E by same Rav Yehuda Rabbanan b'malam and shumah liyuchsin kemiflegi. So the Gemara says, what could Rabbi Yochanan? I'm sorry. What Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi and the Chachamim could be arguing about is that if you make a distribution of truma to a kohen, does that automatically give him the status of yichus? And maybe that's at issue over here. And maybe that's the explanation of, if we allow for a kohen to eat truma, does that automatically presume that he's going to become a kohen? So, and that could be an issue. We're going to come back later today to discuss this in more detail in terms of whether distribution of truma makes him a kohen. Now, I know this sounds funny, by the way. Distribution of truma makes him a kohen. Let's think this out. Meaning that if you're getting truma, should we then assume that you're a kohen? Shouldn't we reverse that sentence? Meaning, if you're a kohen, therefore you're going to get truma. So as we're going to see later on, there's going to be a lengthier discussion later on. First of all, truma may not be a din d'oraisa, truma may be a din d'rabbanan, which generally is how we normally assume nowadays, that truma is a din d'rabbanan. So it could very well be that a kohen may not have full yichus, and may not be afforded full status of being a kohen, where genealogically he is what we would call fit. But if he comes over and he says, you know, I'm entitled to truma, and especially if we're talking about truma de Rabbanan, which we'll talk later on this morning, so then it could very well be that he may not be perfectly genealogically fit, and yet they're still going to give him a distribution of truma. So I know it sounds strange, but what the Gemara is suggesting now is maybe that's what adds the issue between the Tanayim. That
what's
if
the standard position that we're not going to Gomlin or not?
Correct. So right. So what? I'm sorry. So what's the question? Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva's answer is that the general position is that you're not chayish legomlin unless there's something that serves as like a red flag.
Okay, now we're
right. It's
what does it mean? I don't even know what that.
Means. Okay, come after. I'll explain after. I'll go through it with you after. Okay. Okay. Let's move along. E by Elohu. Okay, we're in the Gemara now. We're in Chav Dalam Amid Beis. We're a little bit less than halfway down the page, and now the question, the discussion that we're going to be having from here, basically to the rest of the daf, is as follows. How do you know a Kohen's a Kohen when he comes into town and he's new to everybody? So how do you know he's a Kohen? So Eidus, the best answer. And even though that's the best answer, as we discussed in the beginning of today's shiur, that's a machlokus. One Eid, two Eidim, fine. But Eidus is the best way to establish someone's a Kohen. Okay, and from this point forward, now we're going to ask some very simple questions. What if you have some other telltale signs that he's a Kohen? Okay, like we see in our daily lives. Someone gets called up for the first Aliyah. Okay, is that good? Meaning, and let's go even further. Let's say the Gabbai announces him as a Kohen. Okay, good. Is that going to be a good sign? How about he gets the distribution of Truma, like we just discussed in the Gemara, which the Gemara is going to discuss more of. Is that a good sign? What if he eats challah? What if he signs on a document and he says, "Hi, my name is," and then he signs on a document, he writes his name, and he writes right next to it, Kohen. Is that a good sign? Okay, these are all questions. Most of these questions are going to go unanswered. Sorry, Hedy. But the Gemara is going to if you want, I'll show you afterwards. Well, we can look at it together. But the Gemara leaves most of these questions unresolved. It's okay. Like I said yesterday, in other words, in terms of yichus, meaning it's somewhat strange how, as we're going to see over the course of today, someone could sign a document and write the word Kohen next to his name, and as the Gemara is about to tell us, we don't know. We're still not sure. And go one step further. And he may be also entitled to distribution of truma, and I'll throw another one on. And he may be duchening, and he may be doing all those things. And yet, in terms of yichus, we're not going to say that we know this person is genealogically fit, and he's really a Kohen, and that's going to be true for all his descendants. And like we said yesterday, male asa b'yuchsin. And the reason why this somewhat odd conclusion may be is because the Chachamim were so careful about making sure that there is good genealogy. And we're going to see later today, this is not a concern that occurred by the Chachamim at a later historical time. This concern already is found in Tanakh. Meaning, you see, we're going to see Pesukim later this morning. Already in Tanakh, there was this worry, this concern about making sure that everyone has the proper genealogical records. So, it traces its way pretty far back. So, okay, so that's the Gemara's questions. Let's see all these questions inside. So, the E by Elohu. Sorry, I lost my spot. And momentarily, we're gonna get back. Here we go. E by Elohu ma'ala los mishtars liyuchsin. Here we go. First question of the day. Let's say you have a document, and the document has witnesses signed on the bottom, and he writes the word Kohen next to his name. So, So if he signs his name on the bottom with the words "I'm so and so and I'm a Kohen," so man kamasi delave. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great that he identifies himself as a Kohen, but that's not edus. Meaning, even if he signs his name that way, who's testifying? All he did is just simply attach the word Kohen to his name. So lo tzricha dichsibe ani ploni Kohen levisi mani mi ploni vechasim usahade. So Gemara says, okay, good. So here's the case where it now becomes a good question. Meaning, if it's just a signature on the bottom of the document, that's not a good question. That's nothing. But here comes a good question. Let's say in the document we've identified who the lender is and who the borrower is. And let's say that the lender is identified in the document as being a Kohen. Okay. And now you have two witnesses signing on the bottom. So here comes a good question. So now these two witnesses signing on the bottom are testifying. So what are they testifying about? Are they testifying about a loan? Or are they testifying about every detail that's written in the document? Good. Good question. That's what Gemara says. All I did is I just formulated the question the same way the Gemara is about to. Amanisha b'shtar kamisade? Are they testifying about the actual loan? Or odima kulamilsa kamisade? Are they testifying about every detail in the document? Okay. Rav Huna of Rav Chista chanam ramalim v'chanam rayin malin. And the Gemara says, what is this? It's a machlokas. Machlokas amarayim, whether or not this is going to be a good piece of evidence to say that he's a Kohen. Again, in terms of yichus. Okay? Case closed. Question unresolved. It's a machlokas. We move on. Okay. We Ashkenazim, I know I speak, I think like an Ashkenaz, but we Ashkenazim, we get to Yantiv, and we now see who is a Kohen, right? And sometimes somebody gets up there, and, it's like, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, he's really? I didn't know he was a Kohen. Okay, he's a Kohen. So therefore, we draw general assumptions that anyone who's going to go up to Duchen is a Kohen. We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah that Kohanim bless the Jewish people. Okay, Parshas Naso. And the assumption is that anyone who's going to avail themselves to this mitzvah is obviously a Kohen. So when you see somebody go up, is that it? Is that going to be enough evidence? So the Gemara says, obviously, not totally clear. And that's not edim, that's not witnesses. And the Gemara goes on to discuss. Tibay laman damar ma'alim mitru ma'liuchzin, v'tibay laman damar ein ma'alin. So the Gemara says, and you know, we could formulate this question independent of whether or not Truma is going to be a telltale sign of whether he's a Kohen. Tibay laman damar ma'alin. So the Gemara says, look, let's say you're of the position that Truma is a good siman, that he's a Kohen. And if he's there getting a distribution of Truma, from that point going forward, we can assume that he's a Kohen with all rights, privileges, etc. Meaning, he's miyuchas. So the Gemara says, and I'll still say that may not be true by Dochanek. Because, honey, mila Truma davan misahi. Because, look, he's availing himself to Truma. It is a very serious offense to eat Truma when you're not a Kohen. It is Misa Bidei Shemayim, to eat Truma when you're not a Kohen. So, you would imagine that, although people enjoy taking risks, but that's a risk that's too great to take for anyone. So if he's helping himself to Truma, so we can assume he's a Kohen, because who would want to take that risk? Aval Nesias Kapayim Disar Asay, but in terms of halachic risk-taking, meaning, what if you're not a Kohen and you're Duchen? So, what Isser in the Torah did you violate? So I'll answer that. No Isser in the Torah. What did you do? The Gemara describes it as an Isser Asay. You violated a positive commandment. Meaning the positive commandment in the Torah is, Kos, Rashi writes, Kosev Archu. You people, meaning you Kohanim, you people are going to be the ones giving the bracha. And Rashi goes on to say, Atem Velo Zarim. You are not non-Kohanim. V'lav Abba Mechlas Asay. So only inferentially do we know that non-Kohanim cannot bless the Jewish people. But that's not a lav in the Torah. That is an inferential lav. A lav haba mechlal asay. And categorically, what does that fall under? Falls under the category of an asay. So it's bitul asay. Now, needless to say, but I'll say it, we're not minimizing. We're not saying it's less value. But in terms of onesh, in terms of punishment, obviously there's less punishment for that than there is for a regular lav. And certainly less punishment for that than for a non-Kohen eating truma. Non-Kohen eating truma is an issa misa bidei shamayim. It's a lav, and a very serious lav, just one shade lower than kares. So the Gemara says, so if you are a halachic risk taker, you're not going to eat truma, generally, but to duchen, hey, this is fun. I'll be up in the front, people will see me, right? I'm giving a blessing, and in terms of violation of the Torah, it's an Isra say. So the Gemara says, so, even if Truma serves as a way of identifying you as a Kohen, but maybe not Duchening. Odilma, Loshna, or the Gemara says, and what's the other argument? The other argument is, no, they're both the same. Meaning, they're both dealing with Isuri Torah, or not Isuri Torah, but Inyane Torah, and so therefore, Truma could be a telltale sign in, so could Duchening as well. Laman Darmein Malam Hani Mile, Truma Dimit Achle Betzina. And the Gemara says, and we can really even argue the other way, and that is, when it comes to Truma, Truma doesn't serve as a telltale sign. Why? Because Truma's not public. Truma's private. Meaning, no one's, you're not doing it Bifne Am Ve'eda. You're getting the distribution. You can go, let's say when no one else is going, go to the farmer, get a distribution. You can do so privately. So the reason why distribution of Truma may not serve as a telltale sign is because it's simply not a public activity. But when it comes to duchening, which is a public activity, now we're talking about a level of chutzpah, where you're not a Kohen. You're going to go in front of everyone. On Yontif. Again, I'm thinking like an Ashkenaz. I'm sorry. On Yontif, you're going in front of everyone. That takes a lot of chutzpah. So maybe one could argue and say, Kohen distribution, I'm sorry, the Truma distribution, it's a private act. Okay. I know I shouldn't, but no one's seeing me anyway. Duchening in front of everyone, that's public. So the Gemara says maybe that's the difference of Demoloshna. And again, the counter argument to that is maybe it's not different, maybe just like truma cannot be a simon, neither could duchening as well. So, okay, good. So now the Gemara provided all the arguments. Now the Gemara is going to give the halacha. And that is Rav Chisra, Rav Avini, Rav Avina. Gemara brings down Amarayim, and you know what the next step of the Gemara is going to be? Charamar Malin, Vacharamar Ein Malin. And the Gemara brings down some Achlokas. Okay, next topic. Like I said, most of these issues are going to go unresolved in the Gemara. Amalei Rav Nachman Yisrael, Rav Amal, Alos, Menesias, Kapayim, Leyuchsin. So, we're re-asking the same question. We go see somebody up, go in Duchen. So, can we assume that he's a Kohen? Amalei Plukta, the Rav Chisav, Rav Avina. So, the Gemara says, okay. I'm sorry, his response is, it's a Machlokas. Hilchas Amai, so he says, okay, and now that we know it's a Machlokas, can we go to the next step? What's the normative practice? What's the halacha? Amalei ana mastisi adana. So he says, I don't know, but I do know a brisa. Ditanya Rabbi Yossi Omer. So the Gemara is going to quote now a brisa, and the brisa opens up with the following statement: Gedola chazaka. You know, chazaka, it's such a strong driving force in halacha, meaning chazaka is presumption. Now, it happens to be that in Ksuvos, as we are now, more than 3 weeks into the Masechta, we know that. Meaning, one of the big themes that we've been discussing since the very beginning is this idea of chazaka. Meaning, there's a presumptive state. And that presumptive state is strong, it's powerful, and generally, it will determine what the halacha is. Generally. Obviously, I'm way over generalizing, but chazaka is a big deal. But now this brisa opens up with gedola chazaka. Chazaka is really great. And let me show you how great Chazaka is. Shenemar, so now we quote here a pasuk in Ezra. Umimnei Kohanim b'nei Chavia ben Akotz ben Barzilai, asher lakach mimnos Barzilai giladi, isha, vayikra shmam, ela bikshu ksavam ha-mithyachsim. So they were looking for their genealogical record, meaning these are Jews that went up with Ezra back up to Eretz Yisrael, and trying to establish themselves as not just Kohanim, but Kohanim ha-miyuchasim. They are genealogically fit. And for that, they were looking for genealogical record. Volonimtsu, however, they couldn't find it. So in other words, all they have to say that they're Kohanim is just simply the claim that they're Kohanim. V'yigalu min ha-kohuna. Sorry, v'yigalu min ha-kohuna. And they were not redeemed, but right. Rashi says, nifsalu. So they were disqualified from the kahuna because they couldn't bring any record.
Even though they had Adam, or they had no Adam.
So right. So let's assume right now that they had no Adam. Vayomer Hartashasa. And so along comes Hartashasa, Rashi says, that's Nehemiah ben Chachilai, right, of Sefer Nehemiah fame. It's funny, Rashi says, V'chein Kasuba Sefer Ezra. And it's written in Sefer Ezra. All right, I don't ask me what page in Daf, in Shas, but Rashi says a number of times that, from Rashi's perspective, Ezra and Nehemiah were not two separate Sfarim. Rashi had Ezra and Nehemiah as one Sefer, it was called Sefer Ezra. But it's clear from a number of Rashi's in Shas. But anyway, but point being, along comes Hatashasa, and he states the following. Sorry, let's go back to the Gemara. Vayomar Hatashasa la'am asher lo yachlu mikodesh hakadoshim ad amod kohen le'urim v'tumim. And so what did Nehemiah say? He said, look, you can't eat carbon until we consult with the Urim v'tumim, and the Urim v'tumim are going to identify whether you are or you're not a kohen. Okay. And what's the what's the diuk? And by the way, Rashi points out over here, Nehemiah didn't really mean that we're going to ask the Urim v'tumim. He just basically meant was, you know what? Come back to me tomorrow, and I'll answer you. Meaning, he basically said, that's it. This is all the information we have. We don't know. Rashi, by the way, points out that during the Second Temple, there were no Urim v'tumim. So it was just a way of simply saying, we simply don't know. So and you can't eat from carbon. And Nehemiah said to him as follows, but you know what? What we'll allow you to do, you'll eat status quo. Meaning, whatever you've enjoyed up until this point in time, you can continue enjoying. Chazaka will allow you to at least remain with status quo. So the Gemara says, and what have you been doing until now? Up until now, you've been eating kachi gvul. What is kachi gvul? That's a description of truma. It's called kachi gvul because it has kedusha and yet does not have to be eaten within the confines of Yerushalayim. Right? What else can you do that with? It's an open-ended question. The answer is nothing. The truma. Truma is it. Meaning truma is kashe gvul. It has kedusha and yet can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So the just like up until now you ate kashe gvul, so too you can continue, but that doesn't mean that you have yichus. That is the psukim in Ezra. The Isak Adach, and now the Gemara comments on these psukim. Isak Adach, Malam, and it says, Kabam Liyuchsim, Hani, Kayman, Taparsi, Adayu, Asilas, Kino. So the Gemara says, now, that's all we have right now. We have a Braisa. And we're going to come back and we're going to ask a very simple question on the Braisa. And we're going to come back and readdress some of the issues in the Braisa. But right now, in the context of our discussion, the question on the table is, if you see somebody duchening, is that good? Is that going to be enough of a sign that they have yichus? And so, we saw it's a machlokus. The question was, what's the halacha? So here, let's take a look at this brisa. So you have all these kohanim who don't have their record, their genealogical record. And Nechemiah said to them, look, nothing I can do. Wait for the Urim V'Tumim, meaning can't help you. But chazakah at least allows you to eat what you've been eating so far. Now the Gemara says, I'm imagining that these guys are duchening. Right? It's an assumption, admittedly, but it's a safe assumption. So let's say that they were duchening and came to Parsi Adayah. I'm sorry. V'isak adachem alam nisiyas kapayim liyuchzim hani came to Parsi Adayah. Asalas akino. So the Gemara says, so why aren't, and duchening is not serving as a means of elevating them and giving them their perfect yichus. So it sounds like from the Braisa, again, there are assumptions being made, but it sounds like from the Braisa that duchening is not going to be enough. So the Gemara says, Shani hacha derea chazkayu. So the Gemara says, look, that Braisa is not a proof. We're not worried for them that just because they go up in duchen, that people are going to automatically assume that they are in fact kohanim. You take a look at Rashi over here, Shani hacha, it's different over here. The lekla mechuz leskenu, daha, rea chazkayu, sha rea kol roen sha kohanim, ochle kat sheha mikdash, veinam einam ochlem. Because look, Nehemiah said to them, here's your story. You can't eat carbon. So for these group of kohanim, so there is a reason why duchening, we're not worried. Because for them, they have a built-in flaw. Every time you go to the Beis HaMikdash, so all the kohanim are sitting around eating carbon, and these are not eating carbon. So because they have a built-in flaw, so therefore we're not worried about going up and duchening for these particular kohanim are going to serve as a way of elevating their status. But generally speaking, Kohen goes up and duchening, and there's no apparent flaw in this Kohen, maybe we would say that he should be elevated for yichus. And the Gemara says, and let's think about this even further. Because what did Nehemiah say to them? You can continue eating truma. Hey, don't we have an opinion that says that eating truma in of itself gives you that automatic genealogical status and provides you yichus? So the Gemara says, okay, and good. And that's exactly the point. Meaning, generally speaking, one could argue, eating truma does give you yichus. But over here, they have their built-in flaw, i.e. they can't eat carbon. Therefore, they're not going to be afforded the status. Therefore, eating truma is not going to be enough to give them status. Okay. Now, top of Chafei Amud Aleph. We are continuing in the discussion again. We quoted the Braisa trying to resolve the question of, is duchening enough to give a Kohen status in yichus? Right now, we don't know the answer. But the Braisa did open up with a statement of Gedola Chazaka. Presumptions are great. So the Gemara says, Velamai Gedola Chazaka. Mikara Achal B'Truma D'Rabban Hashta Achal B'Truma. I'm sorry. That's already the answer. So Ve'ela Gedola, I'm sorry. My Gedola Chazaka. What's so great about their presumption? Let's think about what Nehemiah said to them. Look, in terms of your yichus is concerned, you don't have genealogical record, you have no testimony, I can't help you. But here's what you can do. Status quo. Whatever you've done up until now, you can continue doing. That was Nehemiah's response to these particular kohanim. The opening of the bright says, Chazaka is great. Over here, I wouldn't say Chazaka is great. You know what I would say? Chazaka is Chazaka. Meaning, that's what it is. Chazaka is a presumptive state. Why does the Braisa open up with this big statement of, oh, Chazaka is unbelievable? Meaning, it's got a power. Meaning, I would just simply say, it's a Chazaka. But to start with Chazaka Gadol, what does that mean? So the Gemara gives a couple answers. Answer number one, I'm sorry. Mikara echel b'truma derabanan hashta echel b'truma daraisa. So the Gemara says no. I'll tell you why the Braisa opens up with the words chazakas gedola. Because maybe up until now, what were they eating? Truma derabanan. As Rashi points out over here, what does that mean? Truma derabanan. Remember, historically, where are they coming from? They're coming from Bavel. What were they eating up until now? Truma derabanan. There's no truma daraisa in Bavel. And by the way, it's in of itself, it's interesting. That's Truma Darabanan and Bavel. But that's what they were eating there. Now they come to Eretz Yisrael, and Nehemiah says, okay, status quo. But even within the status quo, they could still get a little bit of an upgrade, in that now they can eat Truma Daraisa. Truma Daraisa now, they're in Eretz Yisrael. Good. That's how the Braisa, that's what the Braisa means when it says, Gedola Chazaka. So the Gemara says, and maybe you can make the following argument that really they can't eat truma derabanan, but I'm sorry, they can only eat truma derabanan, but they can't eat truma deraisa. V'chi maskin b'truma liyuchzim b'truma deraisa b'truma derabanan lo maskinan. And maybe in terms of whether or not truma gives you an immediate status of yichus, that's only if you're eating truma deraisa, but not if you're eating truma derabanan. V'ela ma'gedol chazaka. And the Gemara said, then re-ask the question. If you're right. So once again, what is the opening of the Braisa? Chazaka is great. Again, Chazaka is Chazaka. But why does the Braisa say, what's the greatness of Chazaka? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's great. Because one could have easily argued that when they're coming back into Eretz Yisrael, and they're disqualified from eating Truma Daraisa because they don't have genealogical record, so one could have easily said, well, if you're not going to eat Truma Daraisa, so don't continue eating Truma Darabanan. It's easy to confuse the two. And so one could have envisioned that the Gzeira would say that you're not allowed to eat Truma Derabanan. What Chazaka allows them to do is that even though there was a possible Gzeira, Chazaka still perpetuates their ability to eat Truma Derabanan. Rashi points out over here, it's good rehashing this, especially when Rashi says it. Truma Daraisa, Truma Derabanan, what's the difference between the two? So Rashi writes this consistently throughout Shas, that Truma Daraisa is referring to grapes, olives, and the grains. Right. Everything else, says Rashi, is only Truma Midrabanan. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi. He doesn't quote Rashi. Rambam disagrees. Rambam says that all fruit are Chayv and Truma Daraisa, and all vegetables are only Chayv and Truma Midrabanan. So Rambam draws a line between fruits and vegetables. Okay, that's basic machlokas. And there are a couple of middle shitos in between the two of them. But anyway, so logas rinav shuma deraisa lo achav aksiv asher yichlumi karish hakadashim. The Gemara says, look, this second pshat that we just offered, that when they come back, when these kohanim came back to Eretz Yisrael, so Nehemiah only continued to allow them to eat shuma derabanan, but not shuma deraisa. Gemara says, go back to the psukim. That's not what it sounds like from the Pesukim. What did the Pesuk say? You look back at the previous Amud. The Gemara here is going to quote it just briefly. They're not allowed to eat carbon. Sounds like from the Pesukim, anything short of carbon, they're allowed to eat. So the Gemara says, Okay, doesn't sound that way. So, Hachi Kamar. The Gemara says, no. We'll say Pshat, and the Pesuk goes like this. Lo b'mikre d'ikre kodesh, d'ichsiv v'chazar lo yechol kodesh, v'lo b'mide d'ikre kadashim. What Nehemiah was telling them is that you can't eat neither kodesh nor kadashim. Kodesh, chazar lo yechol kodesh, truma. Kadashim, d'ichsiv v'chol baskon kisi ala izar, he b'trumas ha-kadashim lo sochel. She's not allowed to eat trumas kadashim v'amamar. We learned this back in Yavamos. Not so long ago, that a bas kohen, even as she returns back to her father's house, and even if she returns childless, she can eat truma, but she can't eat carbon anymore. Meaning her marriage to a Yisrael will perpetually disqualify her from eating carbon. Okay, and why that should be, if I'm not mistaken, Yavamos, I think I asked the same exact question, and Xeris HaKosef, the Torah says so, but I don't have a good a rational explanation, and perhaps I just simply don't need one. But anyway, okay, where are we right now in the Gemara? The question of whether Duchening serves as a raya, as a proof that this Kohen is a Kohen Miyuchas. Gemara's answer is right now, it's a debate. We just went through a Braisa describing Nehemiah and Ezra going up to Eretz Yisrael with Kohanim, who do not have genealogical record. All Nehemiah allowed them to do was continue eating Truma. What exactly does that mean? We had two Pshatim in the Gemara. Either they can upgrade to eating Truma Daraisa, or no, they can remain status quo and only continue eating Truma Darabanan. What do the Braisa mean when it says Chazaka is great? We also gave two explanations for that as well. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tashma. Chazaka Lekuhuna Nesias, I'm sorry. Chazaka Lekuhuna Nesias Kapayim. We have a Braisa. Braisa seems pretty clear. You want to create a presumption of kahuna? So, in Bavel, go up in Duchen. In Surya, right, I'll say it's Aram Tzova, but after that, geographically, don't ask, I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, Surya, which was conquered by David HaMelech, but not Kibush Rabin, it was only Kibush Yachid. He did so, quote unquote, on his own, and so therefore does not have the full status of Eretz Yisrael. It's not a full annexation. It only has partial status. So if you're living in Surya and you're getting a distribution of challah, you have a presumed state of kahuna, and chilek matan is bekrachim. And if you're living in the cities in Eretz Yisrael and you get a distribution of matnos, of matanos, meaning of every animal, where portions of every animal goes to a kohen, zro lachai v'keva, so then you have the status of being a kohen. Okay. It seems to be we have pretty good evidence. The beginning of that braisa says that if you duchen, you're a kohen. So my lovely yuchsin, so doesn't it mean good? You have now full yichus, the Gemara says, well, the truma. So the Gemara says, nope. It's talking about Truma. So Gemara says, that's very difficult pshat in the Braisa. Because look, there were three statements made in that Braisa. Look at the second statement of that Braisa. If you live in Syria and you get a distribution of Chala, now you're given status. What else do you think that means? It means that you're given status for Yichus. What it can't mean, oh, you're given status for Truma. You're getting it. You're eating it. So obviously when it says that now we assume that you have status, it means that obviously must mean yichus. So if that's the understanding of the second statement of the Braisa, go back to the first statement of the Braisa, duchening gives you status for yichus. Lo. The Gemara says, Achilas kala gufa l'truma, l'truma. No, the Gemara says, not necessarily. We could say the following pshat. In the second statement of the Braisa where it says that chalam, being given chala gives you status, it means that chala is only midrabanan. Truma is the araisa. If you, the kohen, are going to get chala, you, the kohen, can get truma. That's what the braisa means. Kasavar chala bezman azed rabanan truma da araisa. Umaskin me chala da rabanan truma da araisa. Uket apichlu ravhuna bre da ravishul rabanan. As we're going to later on, there is an argument in the Gemara that says that challah in certain locations is only derabanan, while truma is daraisa, and so maybe that's the pshat in the braisa. Now that you're afforded full assumption of being meyuchas, that you have full genealogical purity, it just simply means that if you get challah, you can also get truma. Challah is derabanan, truma is daraisa. Tashma. Gemara quotes another braisa, a tosefta. Chazaka lekuhuna nesias kapayim. A presumption to becoming a kohen, you go up and you see the man duchen. Good, he's a kohen. V'chila granos be'Eretz Yisrael, getting a distribution of grains in Eretz Yisrael, v'Syria, v'chol makom sheshluchei Rosh Chodesh megin. Anywhere where the messengers of Beis Din go to announce Rosh Chodesh, so that gives you proof. Now, Nesias Kapayim Raya, Nesias Kapayim Raya, Avalo Chilok Granos. There, Duchening will be approved, but not getting a distribution. Ubavel Kisuria. And Bavel has the same status as Surya. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Afalachzandra Shem Mitzrayim, Berishona, Mimnesha Beit Sin Kvun Shem. So too, Alexandria of Egypt also gives you the same status as well. So, Ketanim Yos Nesias Kapayim. But again, go back to the Braisa. What did the Braisa teach us? That Duchening gives you a chazaka, a presumption of being a kohen. My la liyuchsin, and are we not saying that he gives you full pedigree and full status of being kohen? La lechala. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about, it allows you to eat chala. The Gemara says, what, I understand. Hadumi dechle granos ketani. Machil granos liyuchsin, after nesias kapayim liyuchsin. So the Gemara says, I'm not following. In the Braisa it says that if you get a distribution of grain, so then you're given a status. Obviously, we're talking about status of yichus. What do you think it means? If you get a distribution of grain, oh, now you can eat challah. Again, what does that mean? You're getting a distribution of truma. Of course you can eat challah. So the Gemara says, lo chiluk ranas gufa l'challah. So the Gemara says, no, we don't have to say that. The pshat we could say in the Brisa is that if you get a distribution of truma, you're now entitled to eat challah. Kasav truma b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan v'challah d'araisa. Because truma b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan and challah zeh din d'araisa. Now, does that not go exactly 180 opposite of what we said about 10 lines ago? The answer is yes, it does. That's correct. Meaning, as we're about to see in the Gemara right now, is that you can make both arguments. Obviously, if you're not, the two parties are not in agreement with one another, but you can make two distinct arguments. You can argue that truma is a din d'rabbanan and challah d'araisa, or you can argue just the reverse. And depending on which side you argue, the point being is that if you get a lower level distribution, you can then be presumed to get the higher level distribution. And again, all this, oddly enough, does not necessarily mean that you're a kohen miyuchas. So the Gemara gives us a little bit more background. An assembly of Chachamim in the Yeshiva of Rav Dias v'Kamra Filaman Damer Shuma Bezman Zed Rabbanan. Even if you argue that Shuma nowadays is only the Rabbanan Chala Da Araisa, but still the din of Chala, the portion of dough that we take off from the dough that we prepare, is a din daraisa, even if you hold truma as the rabbanan. How do you arrive at such a conclusion? Sharei zayin shekivshu v'zayin shechilkun is chayva b'chala. Because, think about it, as we entered into Eretz Yisrael, there were 14 years before the land was allocated. It took 7 years of conquering, it took another 7 years of just distributing the land amongst the Shvatim. And for those 14 years, we were chayv and chala, even though nobody was settled. The land wasn't settled. And yet, for those 14 years, we weren't obligated in the mitzvah of truma. So you see that it can be that challah is a din d'oraisa and truma is a din d'rabbanan. Now I counted and I said, I'm going to argue in the exact opposite direction. I'll go the other way. The pasuk when describing the mitzvah of challah, parsha shlach, the Torah says, when are you on the hook for challah? That's only when you enter into the land. And what does that mean? Two or three spies come into Eretz Yisrael, that's it? When the Jewish people are now obligated in challah? No. The Torah says, when all of you enter into Eretz Yisrael, now, the Gemara points out, Ezra comes into Eretz Yisrael, and he comes in with, if my numbers are correct, approximately 42,000 Jewish people of the entire Jewish population. Now, I don't know what the total number of the Jewish population was at the time, but only a fraction of the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra. As we are just but 1 week away from Purim, like it's, right, just in terms of history, that's the time period we're talking about, meaning the amazing miracle of Purim, and yet most Jews were pretty happy and comfortable in Bavel. I think we can relate. I think we understand. But the point of the Gemara being is that you see that you need for challah the entirety of the Jewish people to enter. Masha'in came when it comes to truma. That's not true. You don't have that requisite. So therefore, you could argue the other way that truma is daraisa, but challah is the rabbanan. So again, the Gemara just simply points out, we can go in one of two directions of whether challah is the rice or truma is the rabbanan. And so, and again, going back to the original point, when we saw the brisa that says that a kohen eating challah is afforded status, it just means he can now eat truma, assuming challah is the rabbanan, truma is the rice. Or you can go the other direction. If you see a kohen eating truma, oh, now it's an eat challah. Then you argue that truma is the rabbanan and challah is the rice. Fine. Tashma. Let's do one more and we'll finish for today. So what's the presumption to be a kohen? Either duchening or getting a distribution or testimony. To which the Gemara says, what? Testimony is not a presumption. You know what testimony is? Testimony is testimony. Doesn't give you a presumption of being a kohen. Then there's nothing better than edus. You are a kohen. The Gemara asks, edus chazaki? What are you talking about? Edus is not a presumption. Edus is
proof.
That's it. So El Alav Hachi Kamar Nesias Kapaim Ki Edus Ma Edus Liyuchsin Af Nesias Kapaim Liyuchsin. So what the Braisa must mean is that just like Edus is proof and gives you Yichus, so too Duchening is proof and also gives you Yichus. Again, it's obviously not the same, but that's exactly the point of the Braisa, is that even though Duchening is not Edim, nevertheless, it gives you the status of Yichus. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Lo, Edus Abba Mikoach Chazaka Kechazaka. So that's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa simply means that testimony that comes from the Chazaka is treated Chazaka, but not necessarily that you're given full Yichus. Okay. Okay, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up right from this point in time. One question what we left, not unresolved, because we didn't resolve a lot of our questions, but one question left unasked is, what if you see him getting the first Aliyah and Shul? Okay, that's where we're starting with tomorrow, in terms of giving him a presumptive status of being a Kohen Miyuchas.